I say this today. I'm a slow reader. I have a lot to read here. Matthew chapter number 24. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus came out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive men. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive men. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor even shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the light cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I'll ask Chris if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we count it an honor and privilege to call upon your sweet and loving name. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to be in the house, Lord. Thank you for goodness and mercy, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for saving us. Lord, we ask you now, Lord, that you just touch Brother Adam more, preach and use him, touch his mind's voice, more bringing to remembrance things that he studied. Lord, give us open hearts that we hear, thus saith the Lord. If they do want to sound my voice, then know you in a free heart of sin. Lord, I pray you'll put conviction on them heavy and real. Lord, continue to touch and help this church, Lord, help it grow in grace and knowledge of you. Lord, continue to bless and help our pastor, Lord, touch his body, touch his voice, Lord, heal him according to your divine will. Lord, you know all the needs in the house of God this morning, Lord. You know the sick and afflicted, the lost, Lord. You know the ones that are shut in. Lord, you know that all the ones that have a heavy heart this morning, Lord. Again, I ask you to touch your man, preach and use him, touch his body and voice. And everything is said and done today, Lord, we'll hire unworthy heads and hearts and say, Jesus, done it all. Amen.
We see in our scripture here as it starts out, we see the Jesus and the disciples have come out, and the disciples are fascinated by the temple and the buildings around the temple and the beauty that they're created with, the way that the stones have been placed, the way that everything is laid out and been constructed. They're fascinated by that. They catch the attention of Jesus and say, look at the beauty around the temple and the way it's been created. And right off the bat, Jesus would respond that one of these days that temple's going to be destroyed. And all the beauty that it has down here in this life, all the work that's been put into it to secure that building, he said, everything's going to be flipped upside down. He said, not a stone on the building is going to be unturned. The disciples, knowing full well what Jesus was talking about in verse number 3, asked the question. It said, what shall be the sign of thy coming? They understood what Jesus was saying. In order for them to get the understanding of what Jesus had said, there was another temple that the Lord had talked about being destroyed. Over in John chapter number 2 and verse number 19, the Word of God says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So in order for everything to take place, first there had to be the destruction of the temple that the Lord had spoke about in John chapter number 2. And we see that he had preached that unto the disciples and told them that, and they had grasped the concept here in chapter number 24 of Matthew that the Lord was going to the cross of Calvary, that he's going to have to lay down his whole life. So for you and us, we've got to go to the cross of Calvary where it all started at. We see that there was a debt that was laid out before you and I that we couldn't pay. We see that the sacrifice that had been made time and time again by people in order to atone for sin. But there come a point to where a lamb could not be perfect enough, and where the doves were not spotless enough, they could not atone for the sin of you and I. As God would look upon us, He would still see us as filthy and unrighteous and rotten to the core. There's nothing we could have done about it. No sacrifice could have atoned for that. And we see the purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming to this world was to die on the cross of Calvary. That was His whole ordeal in coming down here. It was not to build a name for Himself, a boast of Himself in any way, shape, or form, but He humbled Himself enough to leave the portals of heaven, which I don't fully understand. I can't fathom and how a Lord would love me enough to leave all the beauties of heaven just to save my soul if I was the only one down here in this walk of life. But yet He come to die on that cross of Calvary. As we begin to read about the cross, we begin to see that the Lord had cried out on the cross of Calvary 7 times from the cross as the crucifixion was to take place. But we see that the crucifixion, even though men thought they were in control, it was all guided by the hand of God. It was perfected by the hand of God. Everything was laid out in order for that sacrifice to be made, for our sins to be atoned for, in order to pay that debt that we could not pay. We see on the cross of Calvary that the Lord had made seven statements on the cross. Two of them I would like to pull out today. One being that when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see that when it comes down, there's a lot of arguments over when the church will be raptured out from this old world. A lot of people don't understand, don't know. But according to that, our Lord faced on the cross of Calvary a separation from God. That way we would know no separation from the Lord. We know that as He died on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit was put down here to abide inside of our heart when we accept Him. I know without a doubt
that the church will be raptured before the tribulation, because the tribulation is a period in which there is no mercy and grace down here on the face of this earth. So it's not going to be long, according to what we've read, that the church will be raptured out of here. We're never going to have to face the separation from God. Never going to have to face the worst of the tribulation. Right now, we're just seeing what's coming before us. Let us know that it's getting close. That the church still has a hope that there is a Lord coming back to take them home. The word rapture is never mentioned in our scripture, never mentioned inside the Word of God. But we know full well that He's coming back to take us home by what is said throughout the New Testament. It also says, around the cross of Calvary, the Lord makes a statement and He says, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He didn't say, "They are finished." But He says, "It is finished." It implies that He was in control around the cross of Calvary. Man was not in control. They might have tried to inflict wounds upon Him, but it was all by the design and the hand of God for Him to shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. So "it is finished" means that the sin had been atoned for on the cross. I thank God that He atoned for the sin, because I could not do it with inside of myself. And I could never live up to the law. But He was a Savior that come to die for you and I on the cross of Calvary. Unworthy and undeserving of it, He seemed fit to do that. And all that, the disciples would understand that there had to be a cross. There had to be a temple that had to be destroyed in John chapter 2. But He says on the third day, that temple will be raised again. They didn't fully understand then what He meant. They said, "Lord, it took 46 years for this thing to be built." He said, "You're going to do it in 3 days." I'm thankful that our Lord come out victorious. He is not a dead Savior. He is not somebody laying in a sealed tomb that has not been able to get out. But He resurrected His own self and claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave. During that period of 3 days, I believe He went down, and I believe He pulled all them that was in Abraham's bosom back to be with Him. I believe that was the period of time of what had taken place. But on that third day, we see that the stone had been rolled away to show that we had a living Savior. That's something different about us that nobody else would ever have in any other religion. We're serving somebody that's alive and well. Somebody that's sitting on the throne today. Somebody that's issuing mercy and grace to His children. All we have to do is accept Him as Savior and Lord. There's no big event has to take place around salvation. There's not a fireworks ceremony. There's not confetti thrown out. But it's the trusting in a holy and a righteous Savior. Just believing in Him. That's all it takes. There was nothing special done tonight that I knew Him as Savior and Lord. Honestly, I don't know what I said. I don't know what run through my mind other than the fact that I knew I needed Him. Trusting in Him. That's all it took. And now I'm one of His. In the scripture that we have here, in the verses that I've read, we see two different sets of things that are taking place and going on. The first section through verse number 14, I believe, is dealing with the church. And things that the church will see. And then the verse number 15 through verse number 31 is dealing through what the world's going to see after the church has been raptured out. In verse number 4 it says, "And Jesus answered unto them," they've asked the question, "Lord, how do we know that the time's getting near when You're going to come back? Knowing that You have already resurrected from the grave, knowing that You're sitting on the right hand of the Father, and knowing that You're coming back one day, how do we know to be prepared for You?" The preparation we see would take form in two different ways. We see first off the Christians and the life that they've lived in some of the verses in the first, and then we see a lost man. There's two different kinds of preparation that has to take place inside of a man's life in order for him to spend eternity in fellowship with the Lord. The first being salvation that must take place inside of our life. You and I cannot get to heaven on our works. We cannot get to heaven on our merit. We cannot get to heaven on our righteousness. If the Lord was to look at me for who I am filthy to the core. And I don't deserve heaven. But when God looks down, He sees the blood of His Son that was shed on the cross at Calvary. Not because I've done anything special, but because I believed and trusted in Him. That's all it took. That was the first step. And then the second step was the loving of the Lord and serving Him. But as we begin to read these verses, we see that the church begins to fall away from God before He ever comes back to rapture the church out. And that's a sad place to be as a child of God, to know that He's coming back to take us home one of these days. And still yet, I don't carry a burden in my heart to serve Him or worship Him or love on Him like He deserves. In verse number 4, He says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I believe in these two verses here, what He's talking about is the religious boom and explosion taking place. Everybody takes a religion that'll fit their lifestyle in order for them to feel like they're in fellowship, in order to feel happy, in order to feel like they're righteous in their own way. You and I have seen that more prevalent in the past 5 years probably than any other time. Everything has changed to fit lifestyles instead of the lifestyles changing to fit what is right. You and I have seen that in every direction and every aspect of life that we look. The Lord says, "Be not deceived." He said, "That's going to happen. Those religions are going to pop up. People's going to be deceived." And then in the verse number 6, He says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." He says, "See that you be not troubled." Catch in verse number 7, it says, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." So you and I know the world that we're living in today. You know that nobody's getting along on a country-to-country basis. Even inside of the countries, it's almost like civil wars inside of nations by the protests that's taking place. You look at the wars and rumors of wars, you know that that's prevalent in the day and age in which we live. And I believe that the Lord has been working everything out over all these years to funnel back into the one place in which He's going to rapture the church out. I believe it is by no mistake of what is going on over there with Russia and Ukraine right now. I believe Russia is going to be the powerhouse before the Lord comes out to take the church home to be with Him. We see what is happening in the war. We see the division taking place in the world, not just two countries, but we see the world divided in half. We see some choosing sides over here and some choosing sides over here. What's fixing to happen is there's fixing to be tension take place where there's going to be threats of those wars. And the Lord said, "That's going to happen and that's going to take place." He said, "But don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. Even though I don't know what the future holds in this old world, I know what it holds for the child of God on life's other side. And I know that it can bring excitement to my heart. And knowing that this means that the Lord is just one more step closer to rapturing the church out and taking us home to be with Him." Through all the unsettlement, it causes an uneasiness around everybody. I can still rejoice knowing He's still in control today. But it says not only the nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, but it says, and famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And I've always wondered how the pestilence is going to take place and how it was going to get around and be spread out. You know, I would expect that in a third world country, a nation that were poor and could not afford good things. But how in the world is that going to come? There's somewhere like the United States, you know, we got good water, we got good food, everything should be fine. And then in 2020, in a matter of 3 months, you had a virus sweep the whole world. Like that, the Lord can take over the pestilence, the disease, and all that's lining up. The Lord's showing, "I'm in control. I'm the one that's going to set this in motion. Going to take it about the family." You know, how in the world are we going to starve to death? We're making jobs, jobs that make good money. We as a nation, financially, we're one of the richest nations there is. How in the world is this famine going to come about? I believe we've already seen that open up before our eyes. If you look at how the war is taking place in Russia and Ukraine, and you look at the fuel supply that has been cut off from Europe, and you look at how the United States shorted itself on that in order to sell to them, and it raised the prices here to where you and I had to cut back. I believe the same thing will happen in the food market, and you and I will have to spend every last dime in order to get what we need to try to survive There's not going to be a rich. There's not going to be a middle class. There's going to be a rich and a poor. And what's happening is some people is going to starve to death because they cannot afford to eat. And you and all, I have already seen how that's going to line up, I believe. The Lord said it's all coming. It's all going to take place. And that right there is just a show. I'm still in control. That I'm going to come back and get you one of these days. It goes on in the end of the verse and it says an earthquake in diverse places. Another thing you and I have seen so often, and it seems like on and on and on, whether severe or whether small, as the earth beginning to shake and the earth beginning to shift. And you look about the volcanoes that begin to erupt. It's the borders of hell, I believe, that's expanding from the inside out of people not accepting the Lord. And they're dying lost and going to hell. And this whole earth is beginning to move and to shake. I believe what it's saying is there's something that's going to have to happen. There's something that's going to happen. And for the child of God, it shouldn't bring fear. It should bring joy in knowing that when the Lord talks about everything, He uses the woman in travail a lot, which means that she's in labor. So what's happening in this world to have an old labor pains? I'll let you know that things is getting close to the Lord coming back and taking us home to be with Him. Oh, it would be so easy to quit in the world that we live in. It would be so easy to walk away. Lord, have you seen everything that's going on around us? All the obstacles that we've got to go over and jump through as a child of God. Well, He's not been caught off guard by that either. Over in the next verses, He says, these are the beginning of sorrows. There's going to be more to take place before the church ever raptured out. We've not missed it this morning. We're just seeing the part where the Lord's saying, I'm coming back to get you. Get ready. Get ready, church. I'm coming back. Verse number 9. He says, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you and hate all the nations for my name's sake. You say, where is this going to take place? It's already taking place in every country except the United States. You've read about it for years and years and years of Christians being beheaded because they stand for the Lord. Because they will not deny the Lord. It's coming to this nation before it's over with. There's already persecution upon Christians in a verbal area, just not to the physical aspect yet. But you rest assured it's a coming. Yeah. We've not missed out on the rapture. He's just saying they're getting a hate for the church. I believe this whole world's going to rejoice when we're pulled out of here. They're not going to miss us a bit. They're not going to care. They're going to say, thank goodness they're gone. And then the tribulation will start. Verse number 10. It says, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Verse number 12, I'm going to catch at the same time. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What he's talking about here is the love inside of the house of God between one another and between you and the Lord. He said, with all the sin that you're running rampant out in this old world, everything that you're seeing, everything that seems like it's coming up against the church, he said, it's going to make it easy for you to step out and get away from God. You know what I was waiting on in order for things to look like the Lord could step out and come back was a great falling away. I thought, you know, I ought to see that in my life if the rapture is going to take place. Same thing happened when COVID hit and the pestilence spread across the world. I believe we've seen a great falling away from the Lord. I believe there was Christians that have never darkened the house of, doors of the house of God again. And what's happened is they've lost their love for God. They've seen how convenient it was to stay at home on Sunday instead of coming to the house of God. They've seen how convenient it was to go and do other things that seem more important on Sunday instead of the house of God. He said, these are people that are saved. These are people that have accepted me as Savior Lord. He said they're going to lose their love. I wonder this morning where you're standing with God inside of your heart and life. I wonder if you've got bitter about some things. And I wonder if you've forsaken loving on the Lord the way that you should. I can honestly say inside of myself, if I evaluate my life, Lord, how much have I failed? How much more could I have loved on you? But instead I turned and went the way of the world. Even though I'm at the house of God, I'm not serving you like you're worthy of. Oh, there's a coming a day when we're going to sing face to face when we're raptured out of here. And I'm going to stand in awe at how wonderful and beautiful He is. And how royal majesty and all that I can behold. And I'm going to be struck with the reality of, Lord, how much have I failed you in this walk of life, knowing that I could have served you, but yet I let everything else cloud my vision, and I failed you miserably by not serving you the way that you deserve. For the child of God, I believe the Lord's saying here, people's going to fall away. That's a sign for you to get closer unto me. Know that I'm coming back. Know that I'm going to take the church home to be with me. He said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, what he's talking about here, it's not salvation as in being blood bought, but it's the salvation of he's pulling us out. I believe he's talking about from the judgment. You and I will be judged when we're raptured out of this whole world. There's no getting around it. I'll tell you, that worries me to death. Even though I'm saved, even though I'm not going to be cast into hell in the lake of fire, I know I'm going to stand accountable for how I lived here. And I believe that's going to take place pretty soon after the church is gone. I believe that's what's happening between verse number 14 and 15 here. He says in 14, the gospel will be given out into the whole world. Everybody's going to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. The Lord's going to appear unto them, show them that they are lost, that they are in need of a Savior, that they have the opportunity to accept Him. Only guaranteed for the Lord to do that once. If you don't accept the Lord, there's no guarantee again. But He's saying, I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to accept me as Savior, Lord. He said, when that opportunity has been given to everybody and that last one either accepts me or refuses me, I believe the church is gone. In the blink, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. 1 Thessalonians would tell us that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and you and I, we're going up behind them. There's not going to be any need to stay anymore because the Lord will have given an opportunity for everyone to be saved. After that point, you've heard the gospel. I believe it's too late for you. I believe your destiny is in hell. I believe that's the only thing that you have to look forward to from there. It would show us inside of the Word of God that there is a change takes place right here in these verses. And the church is not mentioned right here for a while. Until we get back over to where it talks about the Lord calling the church and the angels sounding trumpet and all of heaven coming together again. I believe that's after the saints of God have been purified through the judgment. The judgment must first start at the house of God in order for us to be in fellowship with our God inside of heaven. We're going to be judged and accountable. We'll be on life's other side with Him until He comes back to set up a ruling reign here. In the midst of that time, if you have not accepted the Lord as Savior, when the church is raptured out, the Word of God would let us know that there is consequences that is going to come. The higher scripture here hits on a few of those, talking about the severity of things that are going to happen. You think things are bad in the day and age in which we live, you wait until there's no mercy and grace upon this world. Over in the book of Revelations, we begin to read about the seven vial judgment, the seven trumpet judgment, and all that happens in the midst of the seven seal judgment being opened up. And all those judgments are being issued out by God. We look at the pestilence. We look at the destruction. We look at the hurt. We look at the pain. We look at how nobody's going to be able to escape any of that. Unless then the Lord would send those angels to come and to sweep through and to kill that which is left, to kill a third of all that's down here. And the Lord would issue out all that judgment, but when you die, there's not going to be any relief from that. It's going to be hell for all eternity. And the Lord begins to cast that judgment down upon this world. And we see right here in verse number 31 when He talks about Well, let's skip back. Let's go to verse number 27. It says, for His light cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west. Just as you and I cannot stop the sun from rising in the morning and setting in the evening, nobody's going to be able to stop the coming of a Savior to come back and rapture the church out. He's got a schedule. I don't know it. You don't know it. Verse number 36 says the angels don't know it. But He has got a plan and a design laid out. He's coming to take us home one of these days. He's coming to issue judgment upon each and every life in this world. And verse number 31 says, and when angels with the great sound of a trumpet shall gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. I believe what he's talking about here is the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And what's going to happen is our Lord is going to conquer and he's going to defeat all that which was lost. You and I are entering into a battle that has already been won. We're not going to fight. We're not going to do anything. But instead, he is going to reign victorious in that battle. And when all that happens and takes place, it says that death and hell be cast into the lake of fire for your spend eternity. I don't believe it's going to be a fire to give off any light. I don't believe it's going to be a fire where you can see around. I believe you're just going to hear the cries in the darkness of pain and agony, of knowing what it is to be separated from the love and the hand of God. Even though you might not have accepted God yet, down here God has had His hand upon your life and made sure that this world has not, the devil has not been taking control of your life. He still issued mercy and grace. There's a coming a day when that's all going to stop. It's all going to be over with. The reality of this life is there's heaven and there's hell coming. And I believe it's coming pretty quick. According to this, everything's been fulfilled. Everything's ready. Everything's prepared and set up. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Be honest in your heart. If the Lord was to step out and come back, where are you at with Him? There's no guarantee that we're going to make it home this season. There's no guarantee that we'll make it to the end of the week. It could be that He steps out before this service is over with. Where are you with Him? Are you saved? Have you accepted Him? Have you trusted in Him? If you have, where's your life at? Where's your service at? Where's your love at? Are you part of the one that's fallen away? Part of the one that's gone astray? It would be a shame to be a child of God and be caught off guard when He steps out to rapture the church home to be with Him. David, you come around and get us a verse of invitation. That's what's on my heart this morning. Churches are getting close. I feel like there's a pull in my heart like I've never felt before. A desire and a longing to go home. Sure, it's a little bit troubling not knowing what the future holds as far as things are going to work out. But I know He's coming back. I believe with my own eyes that I'll see the rapture one of these days.